I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this evening. I want to spend a few moments this evening in the time that we have to talk to you about the subject of prayer. And obviously, there are many books, many sermons, many classes that could be preached on the subject of prayer. So I'm going to have to limit the content of what we talk about this evening with the time that we have. So I'd like to focus on a few areas in our study this evening. I'd like to talk about what is prayer, the elements of prayer, what prayer is not, and why should we pray, and finally, how does God answer prayer? So what is prayer? Well, prayer is a petition or supplication or a praise that's addressed to God. It's our thoughts from the heart. Over in Romans 10 and verse 1, it reads, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." So prayer is the heart's desire. Prayer is done in spirit and in understanding. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, it says, "What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also," or understanding. So we need to have the right motive when we go to God in prayer. James 4 and verse 3 reads, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." And we also need to be in the right relationship. We need to be obedient to God so that our prayers are not hindered. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 reads, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." And we need to pray often. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should pray without ceasing. Obviously, that doesn't mean that we need to pray 24 hours a day or every waking moment. But the idea of pray without ceasing is that we pray frequently and often. And the same idea of being devoted to prayer, again, praying often and frequently. In Romans 12, in verse 12, Paul urges the brethren to be devoted to prayer. And in Acts 1 and verse 14, as the apostles are gathered after Jesus' ascension, it reads, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And Jesus taught us how to pray. Over in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, it's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. So if you'll turn to Matthew 6, we'll read that. Obviously a prayer that most of us are very familiar with. Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. It says, Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So what are the elements of prayer? I would say the first item would be praise, giving God glory and adoration. In Jesus' model prayer, Jesus said, "Hallowed be your name." We should express our love for God. We should acknowledge and honor God as our Creator and also the Creator of all things. We should acknowledge His power and His greatness and His holiness as we praise Him in our prayers. The second item was confession. Acknowledge and confess our sins to God. Ask for the forgiveness of our sins. But we also must be willing to forgive others if we expect God to forgive us. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So the next element would be thanksgiving. Acknowledge that all that we have comes from God. James 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." So all good things come from God, and we need to be thankful for that. We give thanks to God for all our blessings, both our physical blessings and especially our spiritual blessings that we have. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And finally, supplication, or our request to God for our own needs. Jesus prayed to give us this day our daily bread in the model prayer that we read earlier. So we need to pray for our physical and the physical and spiritual needs of not only ourselves but of others, for others. This would include our food, clothing, shelter, the sustenance that we need to live on this earth. And also we can pray for other things, some of the things that, as examples, strength or healing, someone is sick, blessing, comfort, understanding, wisdom. And we need to pray for our enemies. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Sometimes that's not the easiest thing for us to do, to pray for those that are persecuting us. But we're told to do that. And we read in the passage here how Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. So what prayer is not? What kinds of things or attitudes should not be a part of our prayers to God? Our prayer should not be irreverent or trivial. Prayer is a serious matter as we pray to God and go before the throne of our God. And prayer should not be entertainment or a show of any kind. The best example that I could come up with on this one was, many of you may have remembered a few months ago, there was a preacher before a NASCAR race, and he led this prayer where he thanked God for gasoline and for tires and for engines and lots of other things. And he got big laughs out of that and got himself on YouTube. And they asked him later, I read later, and his response to that was that he wanted to show that church folks know how to have fun too. That was the reason that he'd led that kind of prayer. Well, obviously a prayer to our God is not the place to do that. And prayer is not to bring attention to ourselves, to be seen of men. Over in Matthew 6 and verse 5, it says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." And also in Matthew 23 and verse 14, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation." They did it for a pretense. It was an outward show. It did not come from the heart. and vain and meaningless repetition also should be not part of our prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 7 reads, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words." And that doesn't mean that we can't use common phrases in our prayers to express what our thoughts are and what we mean. But the key to all of these is that what we pray needs to come from the heart. They're not simply just words to be seen by others. There needs to be thought behind the words that we offer in our prayers. And prayer is not a sermon. I'm sure probably most of us have heard in years past where somebody's led a prayer and it sounded a lot like a sermon. Well, a prayer is not the place to preach a sermon. The prayer is offered to God, and God already knows His will, and God already knows how man is supposed to respond to His will. So we need to be careful that our prayers aren't sermons. So why should we pray? Well, I think the primary reason, and really the only reason that we need, excuse me, is because we're commanded to. We saw the passage earlier in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, "Pray without ceasing." And Jesus said in the model prayer that we read, He said, "Pray then in this way." So Jesus is telling us to pray. And Jesus prayed. Certainly Jesus is our great example, and certainly we need to strive to emulate as much as we can what Jesus did. In Luke 5 and verse 16, it said, "Jesus Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." And in Luke 6 and 12, it said, "He spent the whole night," Jesus did, "in prayer to God." We should also pray because we're concerned for others. And I think that's a kind of a byproduct of our prayers, is that I think it tends to focus our minds on the needs of others rather than ourselves. We need to pray for the sick over in James 5 and 14 that says, "Prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick." And we need to pray for unbelievers, as we read earlier in Romans 10 and verse 1. And we need to pray for our enemies, as we mentioned before, that Jesus commands us in Matthew 5 to pray for our enemies and those that persecute us. And I believe that prayer helps us draw nearer to God as we have a regular and frequent prayer life where we're coming to God on a regular basis, that this will draw us near to God. In James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." And we should pray because God answers prayers. We're told that many times in the Bible. James 5 and verse 16 says, "The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Matthew 21 and verse 22, "In all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." In Matthew 7, in verse 11, it says, "We being evil give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Father in heaven give what is good to those that ask Him?" So how does God answer prayer? Does God always say yes to our prayers? And I would submit to you, no, that He does not. And some examples of that, Moses over in Deuteronomy 3 prayed that he would see Canaan. Jesus, as He was preparing for His suffering and crucifixion, prayed that this cup pass from Him over in Matthew 26 and verse 39. Peter asked that the thorn in his flesh be removed, 2 Corinthians 12. God may answer yes to our prayers, or yes, but wait. Sometimes we think God's on our schedule, but sometimes that his answer is going to be in his time and according to his purpose. Yes, but not as we expect, as we noted before. Removal of the thorn in the flesh versus having the grace to endure the thorn in the flesh. So not as exactly as expected. And God may answer no. And in those cases, we must trust that God knows best for us. Much like us as parents, when we tell our children no, most likely we're doing that for their own good because we know what's best for them, and certainly God knows what's best for us. Does God actively work in the world today? Well, if he doesn't work and he doesn't respond to our petitions, then there's really not a whole lot of need to pray. I believe God does things in response to our prayers that haven't been planned for before the foundation of the world. I don't think God has wound up a clock and every single event in time is already planned out for us and cannot change. I think God works through his providence, the manipulation of natural laws, at least as the laws as we understand them. And it's really not important that we know exactly how God works and responds to our prayers. Just know that he does answer our prayers. We're promised that many times within the Bible. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Do we limit God's options in answering prayer sometimes? As an example, when we pray for someone who is sick, do we simply ask to bless the natural means for getting them well, doctors or medicine? Or can we ask God to just restore the sick, to heal the sick person, and leave the method up to God? So the conclusion, I guess four or five statements that hopefully you can take away from this sermon, if nothing else. We're commanded to pray. We should pray without ceasing. We should pray often and frequently to our God. Prayers include the elements of praise, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It's important that we have the right attitude when we come before our God in prayer. And God answers our prayers. Thank you.